The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 6:07 p.m., May 4th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
The Affordable Care Act, for me, saved me. It's really a matter of life and death.
I'm now back to being an activist citizen and part of the resistance.
None of those people did
for me. U.S. Congressman Stephen Hawking says we've only got 1,000 years to live unless we get the heck off this planet.
No illness or accident should lead to any family's financial ruin.
We will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced anymore.
Now you're going to have me arrested? For what?
Clerk, report the title of the bill.
H.R. 1644, a bill to enhance sanctions with respect to transactions related to North Korea.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute.
No parent should ever have to decide if they can afford to save their child's life. It just shouldn't happen.
It's not a political outcome.
Not here.
It's a human outcome.
Resist.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for listening to K-Voice of the Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of the Resistance.
People in Kentucky believe that Trump and the GOP would never actually repeal a program that has benefited over 20 million people.
So you don't think that they would actually do that?
No,
to someone?
They couldn't. That would be like, he's got children, he's smarter than that. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people thought that Trump's campaign rhetoric against Obamacare was all talk, and that there's no way he would really repeal a program that so many are dependent on.
Well, the House did it. That was a piece by Vox. They voted to take people's health insurance away. Most of them never even read the bill, nor did they care to.
Congressman, have you read the bill?
Are you concerned about voting on this?
Congressman, have you read the health care bill? Morning, Congressman. Have you had time to read the health care bill?
We're still working on it.
Gentlemen, have you read this bill, Congressman? No, Congressman, have you read the bill?
No, we're in a hurry. We'll be back.
Congressman, have you read the health care bill? Morning, Mr. Shimkus. Have you had a chance to read this bill?
I just got back from baseball practice.
They knew it was a bad bill.
Have you read the whole bill?
Oh, gosh. Let's put it this way. People in my office have read all the parts of the bill. I don't think any individual has read the whole bill, but that's why we have staff.
Is that not a risk? Because people in your office weren't the ones who were elected.
They said they could care less about the countless deaths they would cause.
None of those people did vote for me.
They said they don't care about retaining their seats in 2018. I have full confidence that we will prevent this horrendous bill from passing the Senate. We will lean on our representatives so hard that they will beg not to vote on it. And the House, with all their self-aggrandizing, Trump-filating, Rose Garden pomp and circumstance, will regret this vote dearly as they see the river of blue rolling into the House in 2018. Daily Kos took the time to identify 24 Republicans in swing districts that supported the American Health Care Act, otherwise known as Trump Care. They have also set up a donation site to start funding the opponents in these vulnerable districts. Each of these districts, Trump won by no more than 50%. You could find that on my Facebook page, K-Voice of Resistance, should you like to donate.
Jenny Jardin, who's a breast cancer survivor and founder and co-editor of Boing Boing. And I was thinking about you today, about how you felt, processed what happened today.
It's devastating, Chris. It's kind of like getting a cancer diagnosis. You know, one of the first things I thought of was how people always talked about cancer like a battle. Cancer was just a disease. It's just cellular biology. It was just some of my cells deciding that they didn't want to behave anymore and they wanted to create tumors and infest my lymph nodes and metastasize. And that's kind of what it feels like. That's what's happening. You know, America is like a body. And we have to take care of the entire body. Every single cell in this country, every single person in this country deserves life. And we've got to get our priorities back in order. I don't understand how our lawmakers, our leaders, can be so lacking in empathy that this day happened. I didn't survive chemo and radiation and surgery and more surgeries, only to wonder if I'm going to be able to live, if access is going to be taken away entirely, not just for me, but for 24 million or more people just like me who just want to live.
In the meantime, we have work to do, my friends. Get out there to town halls and make those phone calls, because we have a healthcare bill to reject and one to protect. And for those of us in blue districts, let's encourage our reps to stop playing defense and start playing offense. Ask them for their own plan on what to do to fix the ACA. We know it's far from perfect, but it can be fixed. And the Democrats need to show us what their plan is for America. We need a steady hand and a prescription for how to make things better.
It's not a political outcome. It's a human outcome. This isn't the America that I love. The America that I love cares about my right to life, even though I'm 46 years past being a fetus. The America that I love loves diversity. It knows that children, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel's kid, God bless him for saying what he did the other night, knows that those babies weren't born into the world with some kind of original sin that makes some of them worthy of death and the others worthy of life. This isn't robbing Peter to pay Paul. This is killing Peter to pay Paul. This isn't America.
Donald also wrote yet another executive order weakening the Johnson Amendment, which said that religious organizations who mix themselves up in politics would lose their tax-exempt status.
Today, my administration is leading by example as we take historic steps to protect religious liberty in the United States of America. We will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced anymore.
Now, he does not have the power to fully repeal the amendment, but he issued an order to the IRS to essentially let it slide. Let's be clear. This has nothing to do with religious liberty, discrimination, or some imagined war on religion. This was a blow to the wall between church and state, a wall our founding fathers erected. This is shameful and the start of a backslide down a slippery slope. The religious right won't stop till the rights of all but white men are eviscerated, and no law but some arcane and twisted God's law will stand. We must be diligent. Okay, guys, keep an eye out for H.R. 2282. It has been introduced into the House and will be moving forward. H.R. 2282 is the Equality Act. In a majority of states, discrimination against LGBTQ people is still legal. Marriage equality did not mean total equality. The Human Rights Campaign points out that LGBTQ people can get married on Saturday and risk being fired from their job on Monday because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. The Equality Act would amend existing civil rights law, including the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Fair Housing Act, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, the Jury Selection and Services Act, and several laws regarding employment-protected characteristics. The legislation also amends the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to prohibit discrimination in public spaces and services and federally funded programs on the basis of sex. Call your reps and tell them to support H.R. 2282. In the current age of the rise of the religious right, we need to do all we can to protect our LGBTQ brothers and sisters.
You know, coming from a different world and only being a politician for a short period of time, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm president. Hey, I'm president. Can you believe it, right?
In light of our recent executive order set down by our commander-in-chief, I've decided to read the words of a true, honorable, and respectful president, Jimmy Carter. Quote, "Women and girls have been discriminated against for too long in a twisted interpretation of the word of God. I have been a practicing Christian all my life and a deacon and a Bible teacher for many years, and my faith is a source of strength and comfort to me, as religious beliefs are to hundreds of millions of people around the world. So my decision to sever my ties with the Southern Baptist Convention after 6 decades was painful and difficult. It was, however, an unavoidable decision when the convention's leaders, quoting a few carefully selected Bible verses and claiming that Eve was created as second to Adam and was responsible for original sin, ordained that women must be subservient to their husbands and prohibited from serving as deacons, pastors, or chaplains in the military service. This view that women are somehow inferior to men is not restricted to one religion or one belief. Women are prevented from playing a full or equal role in many faiths. Nor, tragically, does its influence stop at the walls of the church, mosque, synagogue, or temple. This discrimination, unjustifiably attributed to a higher authority, has provided a reason or excuse for the deprivation of women's equal rights across the world for centuries. Unquote. Jimmy Carter never discriminated against, looked down on, or shamed anyone. He has lived a life dedicated to the less fortunate, as would any true Christian. For the full transcript, you can find it on my Facebook page. He called it, Losing My Religion for Equality. This is what a president sounds like. This is what a Christian sounds like. So then there's this. Early in the hearings of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, Senator Richard Shelby, Republican of Alabama, said that Mr. Sessions' record of treating all Americans equally under the law is clear and documented. A Desiree A. Farooz laughed. I would have too! It is an absurd and laughable statement. Yeah. Jeff Sessions has a well-documented history of treating all citizens equal under the law, please. If they did not want laughter in that hearing, they should not tell jokes. Well, Farooz, a code pink protester, now faces a year in jail and $2,000 in fines. And she's not the only one. Two other activists who wore KKK costumes to his hearing were also prosecuted. This is not the America we know. Things are getting bad here, fast, and there is no time and no space to relax.
I am pleased to join Senator Shelby in presenting my friend and colleague, Senator Jeff Sessions, and to offer my support.
Why am I being taken out of here? This man is evil. You're evil. Do not vote for Jeff Sessions. I was going to be quiet. Now you're going to have me arrested? For what? For what? He said something ridiculous. His voting record is evil. Why am I being arrested?
These terrible women that needed to be punished were members of Code Pink. Code Pink is a woman-led grassroots organization working to end U.S. wars and militarism, support peace and human rights initiatives, and redirect our tax dollars to healthcare, education, green jobs, and other life-affirming programs. They were founded in 2002 in a grassroots effort to prevent the U.S. war in Iraq. They continue to organize for justice for Iraqis and to hold war criminals accountable. They actively oppose continuing the U.S. war in Afghanistan, torture, and the detention center at Guantanamo, weaponized by spy drones, the prosecution of whistleblowers, U.S. support for the Israeli occupation of Palestine, and repressive regimes. Yeah, what terrible women. Check them out if you're interested in joining the pink movement.
Tonight on All In.
Dan Savage, nationally syndicated columnist and host of the Savage Lovecast.
One of the ironies, I think, of this moment is that I think partly in thanks to Trump and the lies that he told to the Republican base while he was campaigning, there is now majority support in the country for the idea that the government does have responsibility to provide all citizens with access to health care. And that is a sea change.
To Shani's point and to the point that Jimmy Kimmel was making tacitly, I have never seen support for single payer as a kind of common assumption higher in my adult lifehood. And there is a lot more fight left to go. And I'm really curious to see where this ends up. There are people on the right already warning that that is the path that we have been put on.
As the healthcare debate burns up Washington, now more than ever, we must begin to fight for Medicare for all. Single payer, national health. Over the next two episodes, I'll begin to lay out an argument for single payer. I've also posted my sources for this information on my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance. Like me and share me. We must learn for ourselves this information so that we are able to effectively communicate the need for such a system in arguments based in facts and data rather than emotions and catchphrases. What do Jordan, Colombia, Azerbaijan, Brazil, and Russia have in common? They are the only five industrialized countries out of 55 that rank below us in healthcare, according to a Bloomberg index that assesses life expectancy, healthcare spending per capita, and relative spending as a share of gross domestic product. Expenditures averaged $9,403 per person, about 17.1% of our GDP. 84 is the life expectancy in Hong Kong, and they also rank in having some of the best healthcare. The UK life expectancy is 81, and the US is only 79. Now, this index only includes the first year of Obamacare, because that's the most recent data we have available. Here's this for some perspective. Think of our healthcare system like this. If the healthcare system were to break off from the United States and become its own economy, it would be the fifth largest in the world. David Blumenthal, executive director of the nonprofit Commonwealth Fund, says it would be bigger than the United Kingdom or France, and only behind the United States, China, Japan, and Germany. Again, were our healthcare system to break off and become its own economy, it would be the fifth largest in the world. The reason that American healthcare is expensive is all about the price. When we go to the doctor, it costs more when, say, someone in Canada goes to the doctor. And it goes without saying that the reason we spend so much money isn't because we go to the doctor a ton. On average, Americans actually see the doctors less than other countries, go figure. It's about the outrageous and inhumane price of things here. From prescription drugs to imaging scans, nearly everything costs more when it's prescribed in America. Take the heartburn medication Nexium, for example. The exact same medication costs $215 here, $60 in Switzerland, $42 in England, and $23 in the Netherlands. Most other countries have some form of price controls. The government negotiates with drug companies and device makers for lower prices, and the government has the power to win those negotiations. The United States doesn't do that. It leaves the negotiations up to individual insurers, and they tend to lose. The privileged capitalists that are the defenders of the American system argue that price controls stifle innovation, which may be true to a certain extent, but that means that we are paying higher prices to subsidize drugs for the rest of the world. More than that, our money is paying for their advertising and lobbying efforts. Companies spend more money to sell us and doctors pills than they do on research and development, as John Oliver explained on his show.
Drug companies know that doctors hold all the real power in the prescription drug business, which is why, while they spend nearly $4 billion a year marketing directly to us, they spend an estimated $24 billion a year marketing directly to doctors. In fact, one analysis claimed that in 2013, 9 out of the top 10 drug makers spent more on marketing than they did on research. Drug companies are a bit like high school boyfriends. They're much more concerned with getting inside you than being effective once they're in there.
According to the Washington Post, the biggest spender, Johnson & Johnson, shelled out $17.5 billion in sales on marketing in 2013, compared with $8.2 billion in research and development. Of the top 10, only one spent more on R&D than sales and marketing. Most of this marketing money is directed at the physicians who do the prescribing rather than the consumers. Drug companies spent more than $3 billion a year marketing to consumers in the U.S. in 2012, but an estimated $24 billion marketing directly to healthcare professionals. But thanks to Obamacare, there's finally some oversight and transparency here, at least on the doctor's side of things.
A new clause in the Affordable Care Act will, for the first time ever, allow average citizens to search a federal website to see all of the perks given to physicians by pharmaceutical companies.
Now, I know what you're thinking. What, a federal website made up of a list of doctors? Hold on, let me Command-T up a new tab right now. But look, this website is actually kind of fascinating. The first batch of numbers are now online covering the last 5 months of 2013, and you can, and absolutely should, go online and look up your doctor at this address and see what you find. Maybe you'll find your doctor did a little research for a drug company, which is probably fine. Or maybe, as ProPublica did, when they looked at pharma payments, you'll find a doctor who's earned more than $1 million delivering promotional talks and consulting. Or maybe, like we did, you'll find a doctor who got food and beverages one day worth 4 cents.
So why else in America do we pay more? American hospitals tend to throw more technology at health problems. A heart attack, for example, is treated with more scans and tests in America than elsewhere. And that also drives up the price of going to the doctor in the United States. The net price of a heart attack in the United States then is more expensive because the unit price of each service delivered, plus the additional administrative cost, which we haven't gotten to yet, of processing the ultimate insurance claim, adds up. There are advantages to having government oversight than a free-for-all in healthcare. See, Obamacare is running dozens of little experiments in the Medicare program that also try to pay doctors more when they provide higher quality care than higher quantity care. There are now penalties, for example, say if a patient returns to a hospital if something was screwed up the first time. And these penalties seem like they might be working. The number of preventable readmissions has steadily dropped since late 2010, according to Medicare FFS. See, getting healthcare in the United States is dangerous. We don't know exactly how many Americans are killed in hospitals each year, but we do know it's a lot. The Journal of Patient Safety reported that between 210,000 and 440,000 patients each year who got to the hospital for care suffer some type of preventable harm that contributes to their death. According to the Institute of Medicine at the lower bound, that's the equivalent of nearly 10 jumbo jets crashing every week, or the entire population of Birmingham, Alabama, dying every year. Blumenthal says the problem is partly culture. See, doctors rarely discuss their mistakes. The United States should have something akin to a National Transportation Safety Board, which investigates every plane crash in the United States, except for patient deaths from medical errors, even if it couldn't get to each and every case. There are thousands more patient deaths than airplane crashes. It would create some sort of federal oversight that right now doesn't exist and could under the national health insurance system. Now let's talk about insurance. Have you ever stopped to think that it's kind of a strange thing that people live at the mercy of their employers to obtain health insurance? Why is it like this? Believe it or not, our health insurance system is a product of a random World War II era tax provision. If you want to understand why we are the only developed country with an employer-based health insurance, really, the only one, then you had better get familiar with the 1954 Internal Revenue Service tax code. If you want to know more about it, I've posted the full explanation on my Facebook page. Again, that's at K-Voice of Resistance. Here's something that surprised me. Insurance companies have small profit margins. Health insurance companies are an incredibly easy target for any antipathy towards American healthcare system. After all, they're the ones that deny claims for coverages that we want, but still charge and always raising premiums for their coverage. But here's one fact about insurers that often gets lost in the debate over healthcare. Their profit margins tend to be relatively small. Yahoo Business estimates that the healthcare sector as a whole runs a 15.4% profit margin. Health plans, meanwhile, have an average profit margin of 3.2%. And get this, one-third of healthcare spending isn't helping. The United States spends $765 billion annually, about one-third of our overall healthcare dollars, on things that do not make Americans any healthier. Much of the waste in our system has to do with the fact that we run an inefficient healthcare system in which hundreds of health insurance plans all charge different prices for the same surgeries and scans. That requires a lot of billing staff. For every three doctors in the United States, there are two staff to handle all the paperwork. That's unique in the U.S. system. In addition, there's a necessary care. Of the $765 billion wasted each year, the Institute of Medicine estimates that $210 billion is spent on medicine that we don't need. Aside from being a waste of money, this extra medicine can be harmful. Take, for example, prescribing antibiotics for acute bronchitis. Researchers have known for decades that this isn't an effective treatment, but nearly three-quarters of doctors do it anyway. Why? And here's the thing. Obamacare is not universal healthcare. The United States does have a very recent, very large expansion of health insurance coverage. That's the program we call Obamacare. It's expected to cover an additional 26 million people by 2024. What the United States does not have, however, is universal coverage. Obamacare doesn't eliminate insurance in America. Instead, it cuts the number of people lacking coverage about in half, which is great. But we can do better. Even after Obamacare is fully implemented, budget forecasters still expect that 31 million Americans will lack insurance coverage, a bigger group than people buying coverage on the exchanges. Our uninsured rate will still be in double digits, hovering around 11%. I'm going to leave this here for now. On my next episode, we'll explore the facts and the myths about national health insurance that you may not know. We'll also talk about the various kinds of healthcare under single payer that we could end up with, or that we could work towards. In lieu of calling universal healthcare single payer, I'm opting to call it Medicare for All. Single payer gives conservatives and liberals alike images of long DMV lines and angry employees. Medicare, on the other hand, is extremely popular. It makes single payer seem accessible to the people.
Before Medicare came into law, one Republican warned that one of these days you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free. That was Ronald Reagan. And eventually Ronald Reagan came around to Medicare and thought it was pretty good and actually helped make it better.
I'm spending a lot of time on this subject, not just because it is a current hot-button issue, but because I believe that soon we'll be able to turn state healthcare systems over. And as soon as we turn state healthcare systems over to Medicare for All, then the rest of the country will be sure to follow. This will happen from the work of a grassroots army, our army. I'm grateful to Obamacare. I spent 10 years uninsured due to a pre-existing condition, and Obamacare was there for me when I needed it most. But we can do better. We must do better. Because as Jimmy Kimmel put it, no parent should have to decide if they can afford to have a child live or die. Not here. Not in this country.
I saw a lot of families there, and no parent should ever have to decide if they can afford to save their child's life. It just shouldn't happen. Not here.
Have you found focus in the resistance yet? If not, it's time. It does not mean we stop supporting other issues and showing up when we are needed, but if we try to go all out and fight everything, it becomes overwhelming and defeating. We are more effective when we find one thing we are really passionate about, be it healthcare, LGBTQ issues, environmental issues, perhaps it's flipping red states blue or Black Lives Matter or women's issues. Whatever it is, there is no end to the issues that require our attentions. Pick a passion, develop a plan, and go to work. This is our time. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice of the Resistance, on Crab Diving Network, or wherever it is you like to get your pod on. I drop 2 episodes a week. The next will be on Tuesday. I hope everyone is finding some time away from all this here and there. The other day, I went up the San Jacinto Mountains on one of my favorite hikes. It was lovely. And after a break, it's back at it. We have a lot of work to do, so take care of yourself. And as always, resist.
The Republicans in Congress are poisoning Obamacare, then trying to claim it's sick.
Everybody's got to be covered. Everybody's going to be taken care of much better than they're taken care of now.
We have great plans. They're going to be much less expensive. The pre-existing conditions are in the bill. And I mandate that
it phases out the expansion of Medicaid and allows states to opt out of the requirement that insurers cover basic health services like maternity care, mental health treatment, and even ambulances.
Yeah. How insane is that? Under this bill, if you live in a red state, ambulances might not be a basic benefit anymore.
What we have is something very, very incredibly well-crafted.
And, you know, coming from a different world and only being a politician for a short period of time, how am I doing?
Okay, a president.
Hey, a president.
Can you believe
it? No. No, I can't. Also, look how happy those old white guys are.